Stan, Kristen, greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be here together in worship. It's good to see each one here making up a part of the assembly and everybody adding their part, whether to the singing or the Sunday school discussion. I enjoyed it again this morning. For a message this morning, Dwayne said he got hung up on three verses. I got hung up on one verse. And this came from, we were at visit another church a while ago, and during the Sunday school discussion, they talked about this verse, and it kind of hung in my mind for the last little while, last number of weeks. And I'd like to take you to Proverbs chapter 16 and look at one verse. There'll be more verses we'll look at as we go along, but if you like a text verse this morning, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. And I also want you to know when we start the message this morning that I'm preaching to myself. It's a good message for me to study, to look at. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20 says this: "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. This morning I'd like to talk about handling matters wisely, because life is full of matters. We are constantly faced with matters. They're placed in our hands. And I brought a box along this morning just to help hold your attention a little bit. And I read on the front, put on the front, matter. And these things are constantly being brought and placed in our hand. Who places them there? Where do they come from? Or what is a matter? I should talk about that first. Then I'll talk about where they come from. What are we calling a matter? What's the matter is my first point. What's the matter? The matter is, and they come to us a couple different ways, but usually they come this way. This is usually how they come. Matters are tests. Matters are problems. Matters are situations. And there's an awful lot of matters that come at us right like this. They're bad. And we recognize them as being bad. And we don't know what to do with them. That's why this verse says, "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good." Because we have to do something with the matters that are given to us if we want to turn them around and make them good. And that's our purpose this morning. That's what we want to look at. How can we take bad matters and make them good matters? And also, there's things that come into our life this way. They come to us as good matters, a matter as a blessing. Sometimes we get a blessing in our lives or an opportunity. Sometimes we have a gift that we are given. And it's because of our human nature, so easily we turn this around to bad. Even though it's not what we want to do, we like to keep that matter good. But so oftentimes, we turn that around. Where do matters come from? I suppose there's, like I said already, there's two different areas where we get them from. A lot of them physical, health issues, financial responsibilities. Some of them are emotional, matters that come to us, personal attacks that we face, or just inability to hold up to responsibility. Sometimes it's interpersonal relationship difficulties, and those matters come to us. We have to do something about it. Where do matters come from? Many of them are simply part of Earth life, part of human limitations. Every day we have to eat. Every day we have to clothe ourselves. Every day we have to go to work or do work. Every day we have to relate to other people. And so every day matters are being placed on our plate. And we have to decide what to do with it. Most of these limitations are a result of the curse, a result of the fallen world. Many of these matters come to us because the devil wants us to have difficulty. The devil wants us to have pain. And God is willing to allow it into our life. And a big part of this whole picture is our fallen nature, our carnal nature. And our left unchecked, the bad stays bad and the good becomes bad. That's who we are. That's what we do with the matters that come into our lives. We squander the opportunities. Now, the devil hopes that these matters keep coming, these matters keep piling up, we keep digging a hole, we get deeper and deeper and deeper, and eventually we cannot climb out. That's what the devil would like to do. He'd like to see these matters keep on piling up until all we have is bad. That's what he'd like to do. God wants to see those matters come to us as bad, and we look to him, and he can turn them into good again. That's what God wants to do. God wants to see the weaknesses strengthen us and the bad to make us better. So what's the key to all this? What's the key? My second main point is, what's the key? The key is found right in this verse. The key is the word handleth. He that handleth a matter wisely. How do we handle? And that word handle denotes action and choice. Sometimes we preach on choice. I have it in my hand. I need to do with it. It's placed in my hand, whether I wanted it or not. God put it there, or the devil put it there. God left it be put there, and or my own carnal nature, I took it on myself, and I need to do something with it. And life handles us these situations, good and bad. How do we respond? And how we handle the problem makes all the difference, if the bad stays bad or if the bad becomes good. You ever see on a package, comes into UPS, drops it off, or the mail, and it says, handle with care. It says right on it. Why does it say handle with care? Well, either there's something valuable inside it, or there's something fragile inside it, and so we need to handle it carefully. We wonder, oh, what's in this package? If you have to be careful, it's probably glass or something like that. Well, too bad not all life's problems are handed to us that way. Not all of them say right on them, handle with care. So often they come to us, and sometimes we notice that they came. Other times we don't even notice that the matter arrived. And time goes on, and the issue gets bigger and bigger. And after a while, one day we wake up and we say, how did we get here? Where did this problem come from? Sometimes we clearly see it coming, and other times we don't see it at all. And there's times all of a sudden the problem is there, and it has to be dealt with now. And we've got to respond to it. We're going to respond good or bad. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Sometimes we see that on church signs. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Life is only once. Eternity is forever. And that's why we have to be careful how we handle it. So what's the purpose in all this? What's the purpose in it? The purpose is that as we handle matters wisely, we want to find something in it. We want to find something. We want to find good. We want to find happiness. It talks about good and happiness. And Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we have a goal in life that all things that come into our life, whether good or bad, we want to see them work out to the furtherance of the gospel, to our own good and our own lives, and to the glory of God. That is the purpose. That's why we want to be careful that we handle these matters wisely, because we want to get the good out of it. And I guess, first of all, the first thing that we have to look at is that we enter into this world condemned. And that is something we need to handle carefully. We all enter this world condemned. There is a period of time where we say that we're safe before we come to the age of accountability. But we want to leave this world cleansed, not condemned. And so life is a great big final test that we go through that determines where we will end up. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. I'll read that verse. He was talking about prophecy of the last days. But in there, this verse says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So that's what's happening with our lives. Sometimes more intense than others, but many shall be purified. The reason these matters come into our life is because God wants us to be purified and made white and tried. That sounds like a good thing. But what about when you're in it? That doesn't seem so good, that these matters purify us. It's difficult. He said, the wicked, they see these things and they do wickedly and they don't understand. But the wise shall understand. Another reason that we want to be careful how we handle matters is because we want to be respected by those around us. Because we do have the answer to life. We do have answer to man's problems. And so we want to be careful how we handle life's matters because we want to draw people to the kingdom, not turn them away. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So some of this handling is for the well-being of our own soul, but some of this handling is for the good of other people. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. These are men that had matters come to them. They did not handle them properly. And after a while, they had no witness at all. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do we do this? How are we a light to the world? How are we a city that's set on a hill? How are we a candle that's put on a candlestick and not something that's put under a bushel? And that is by how the matters come to us in life and how we relate to them is whether we are a shining light or whether our light is hid. We need to be careful to handle matters properly so we shine. So what's the plan? What is the plan? How do we handle these things properly? Turn over to Psalm 37. And I just love this psalm. I go here lots, I know, but I had to read these couple verses again. Psalm 37. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And this is David's answer to the problem. What was his problem? Go back to verse 1. I did not read that yet. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. He was fretting because of wicked and the wicked that were prospering. And this was a matter in his life. This was a problem. This was something he had to do something with. And you see the choices that he made, the plan that he put together. And we heard a message on surrender recently. And that's probably one of the most important keys is surrender to God. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. That talks of a life that's surrendered to God. Each one of those verses starts with a word. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. And that talks about, that's a perfect formula for handling matters, life's matters correctly. Because we realize it's God's problems. Another part of the plan is turn to Romans chapter 13. Read a couple verses here. And maybe I should have read this first. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Are we awake enough to know that there's matters on our plate? Are we awake? He says it's high time to wake up. Are we awake to the fact that as we are going through life, that we have things on our plate? And I think we heard some of that this morning. We looked at a specific issue in our lives in that Sunday school discussion this morning. And it's maybe something that's on our plate right now. Depends where you're at in your walk in life. It may be something you're struggling with severely, or maybe not at all. But one of the reasons we come to church every Sunday is to be awakened, wake up, talk about different issues. And I would say that every Sunday morning, there's something here that speaks to you. It's that way for me. And whatever the subject is, there's probably always somebody here that really needed that God moved for that to be shared. So we need to wake up and realize that the night is far spent. That matter may have been on our plate for a long time, and it's time to get a hold of it. And he says here, the answer is to turn to Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh, but live as Christ lived. Sometimes these matters are given to us, and we like to ignore it. We think that if we just ignore it for a while, it'll probably go away. And there are some things sometimes that we don't, probably most often we want to do the opposite of what we should do. There's sometimes things that are on our plate that we want to get a hold of right away. But so many times there's things that come to us and we don't want to deal with the problem. It might be an issue of lust in our own life, and we don't want to get a hold of it. We maybe we just confess it to God instead of confessing it to somebody else. Maybe it's, you know, another issue in our life, and we don't want to get a hold of it, and so we just kind of drift along. Or maybe it looks like a problem that's too big to go and address. Maybe it's an issue between us and somebody else, and we think, well, if we ignore it, it'll just go away. And these verses say it's high time to wake up and realize that there's some things that we need to get a hold of. If it's my responsibility, I need to take the initiative and make it happen. And the flip side of that is we live in a world where everything is instant. And we think we can have it right now. You want a cup of coffee, there's a gas station that has it, and it's not far away. Or there's instant coffee. We want what we want. We want it now. Let's get over it. Let's get on with life. But sometimes God gives us a matter, and he wants us to sit there for a long time and look at that matter and not find the answer. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? That's part of God's purification. It's how God teaches us patience. God's word has a lot to say about the issues of life. And we need to consult it. We need to look to the word. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. That's how we find the good. That's how we find happiness. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. God's book is a fountain of life, to keep us from the snares of death. There's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of doctors that would like to help you with the matters of life. Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. If they are speaking to you on the grounds of truth in God's word, it's good to hear them. But if it's something they've concocted themselves, we need to be careful with it and make sure we're using God's prescription. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 said, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So sometimes when we get these bad problems coming into our life, we need to go find some counselors. Sometimes we're so much in the middle of it that it's going to take somebody else to show us the choice to find good. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now I'd like to just take you to Daniel. We already referred to Daniel this morning. Seems like every time I find a subject to preach on, or maybe God leads me to it, he leads other people to speak on the same people. But when I think about a man that was given matters, a lot of matters in life, important matters, and it seems like every time he made the right choice, I think of Daniel. And we talked this morning a little bit about how Daniel purposed in his heart. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. I'd like to just look at this character a little bit and learn a couple things. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel had a matter come into his life. He was just a young man. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In other words, he had this matter come, and he had to decide what to do with it. And he said, well, first of all, I'm going to make a choice. I'm not going to do what's wrong. And then he said, well, how am I going to do this? So he went and consulted with the prince that was in charge. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So the eunuch, he had a matter too. He had a problem. He was afraid that, depending on how he related this thing, he was going to lose his head. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is simply Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine which they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So this is the story of Daniel facing the matter as a young man, whether or not he was going to be defiled or not, whether he was going to go along with an earthly kingdom and system. And how could Daniel do this? Well, it says that he found his strength in God, that God gave him the knowledge and understanding. Also thought about over in chapter 2. Here we have the situation where the king had a dream, and he didn't know what it meant. So he brought in all his magicians, his wise men, and told them to answer his dream, and they could not. So he said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to get rid of them all. And Daniel, verse 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Why is this decree so hasty? Verse 15. And Daniel asked the king that he would give him time. Let me just go to verse 19. This was a problem Daniel had on his hands. What was he going to do? First he went to the king and asked permission. Then he went to God. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring in before the king. I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and thus said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. I'll just stop reading there. Here was Daniel. What happened? How was Daniel able to handle the matter wisely? I think, first of all, and we also could look at this same thing if we went over to the story of him with the handwriting on the wall. In all of these stories, Daniel was careful to put God in his rightful place and to give God the credit and the recognition. He always pointed it to God. And he said that, I'm not the one. The only reason I have what I have is because I have went and inquired of God, and God has given me this. So let's go inquire of God, and let's give God the recognition. God is the rightful owner of this world. Daniel did not seek honor to himself. Thought of that with the situation of the writing on the wall. Immediately the king wanted to honor him, give him gold, put him a place of honor in the kingdom. I don't know if Daniel thought of it or not, but when the kingdom fell that night, Daniel probably would have been destroyed with the rest of them had he taken the honor to himself. But Daniel didn't do that. Daniel gave the credit to God. And I would like to say this morning that let's make sure that when we handle these matters in life, that if you want to put it in a nutshell, we need to make sure we glorify God. When a matter comes to us, how can we give God the honor and the glory, no matter what it is? Let's remember to do that this week. I don't know what problems we're going to face. I know we're going to face something. So let's give the matter to God. Let's find if it's good, God can help us to keep it good. If it's bad, God can turn it into our benefit. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we kneel before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of the universe, Lord of heaven and earth. We pray, Lord, that you would be able to see on earth what you would like to see, that your will be done on earth even as it is done in heaven. Father, we struggle as humans. We face life's perplexities. Seems like we have so many tests, so many problems, so many things we deal with every week. And Lord, we pray that as we deal with these matters, as the devil brings them into our life, hoping for our harm, hoping for our destruction, we pray that we would be able to not be blinded and distracted by the way he brings this to us and the easy life that we live here in America. But help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us to give you the credit, give you the honor and the glory, especially when people come and ask us about their problems. Help us, Lord, not to just give them earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom as if it comes from ourselves, but help us always, Lord, to give the honor and the glory back to you. Thank you, Lord, for so many examples in your word. Thank you for the example of Daniel. We know we have never faced tests like he faced. It doesn't seem like we will. But Lord, we pray that no matter whatever the test may be, that we would purpose in our heart to do what's right, that we would purpose in our heart to not be defiled, and that we would give you all the glory for it. So we pray a blessing upon each one who has come this morning, blessing for each one in their life and their journey. Help us, Lord, to walk together. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.